This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Coming up next is the Professor James McKinney Science Hour at the Crossroads. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
Good evening. September 8th, 2005. Tremendous amount of material to cover, as you might imagine. No health information tonight. Just be healthy if you can. Quick update on Deep Impact. New York Times posted an article, and once again, NASA scientists are scratching their heads. They find the remnants of seashell activity and liquid water that would have been in a geological setting similar to Earth, with the formation of clay and carbonates, calcium carbonate type material that came out of the explosion. They also keep referring remotely to the dusty ice. And anyway, I don't have enough time to go into this garbage, but clearly NASA scientists covering up a tremendous amount of information, not releasing the real data on that. And in future weeks, of course, we'll continue with that topic. But on to hurricane issues tonight. That is the big story, of course, and the misinformation that is going around the internet is phenomenal. Everything from the Russians did it, to the Iranians, to people who have no expertise at all of any kind in weather, let alone weather manipulation, are spouting off, being placed on radio shows, etc., and claiming to be experts. I see pictures with arrows, all kinds of disformations in a hurricane being put up by people who've never looked at hurricanes before. So a lot of standard features are being pointed to as being so-called scalar technology results, etc. First of all, I've yet to see anybody define what scalar technology even means. It's being bantered around by dozens of people. It's being used as a common lingo, and it's pure disinformation. There is no way to beam radiation into the side of a hurricane or influence a hurricane from the cloud tops. Now, I'll be talking about how weather manipulation does work, how it actually works. There are people out there even claiming that there's no such thing as weather manipulation. Well, gee, why on earth then did the UN in 1976 pass a resolution prohibiting the use of weather manipulation? It was clearly already well under development at that time. People were experimenting. There's a patent that goes back to the 1930s even dealing with weather manipulation, and I've talked about that particular patent on previous shows. There's a good deal of work that went on with World War II. So the whole concept, the idea that somebody would come out and make a claim that there's no such thing as weather manipulation just shows you the number of clowns that are running around the internet jumping up and down that don't know a thing. So at any rate, onwards with some information. This will be somewhat, let's say, out of order, because all of this is related. I first wanted to start with this misinformation of scalar technology. Unfortunately, it was started by some people, and the term used, there is no such thing as scalar technology. And let me just make that very clear. And if somebody is using that term, have them reference the scientific mechanism, the physics of it, so the so-called physics, please. And with a lot of people that talk about, say, free energy and those type of topics, they talk about it, but they don't define the physics. And that's something very different from what I do. My books describe specifically how this works, how weather works, what drives the weather, and how it is manipulated. So I'll go through a very brief discussion of that tonight, what I call Weather Manipulation 101, the history and science of weather manipulation. This week we've had tremendous flaring from the sun as the sun just continues to be out of sorts. And I'll interject this right at the beginning. There is very clear evidence that the political moves being made in association with the weather activity of recent weeks and months is very much associated with the New World Order trying to get their ducks in a row before something major happens in the solar system. And I've been asked this on radio shows where I've been guest. Is the political situation driving the weather situation, or is the weather and the solar situation driving the political situation? And the answer is probably both, because there is clear evidence that the sun is responding to something. Clearly, something is going on in our solar system. The sun is very much out of sorts, and it is being manipulated and used. Remember that storms now, they use weather systems that are already in existence to magnify them, change their directions, direct them into specific areas. Let me just talk briefly about the true path of Hurricane Katrina and just a couple details as it moved into New Orleans. And of course, the tropical storm development early in its history has been totally out of sorts with any kind of standard meteorological prediction of storms historically. Katrina formed out of its tropical depression as it came up through the Bahamas. It formed very quickly to become the hurricane that passed across Florida. The standard path for that storm should have been north along the west coast or along the east coast, much as the tropical storm Ophelia is doing now, passing up to the right and then up into the Carolinas. That would be the normal path for that storm, just as Floyd did. Now, all of a sudden, Katrina makes a sharp left turn, runs over Miami, and then makes another left turn. All of the prediction paths of the computers showed it going north after it passed through Miami. It did nothing of the sort. It made another major left turn, headed out south as a very disorganized thunderstorm, and within 30 minutes developed into a Category 3 hurricane. And it moved out westerly across the Gulf of Mexico till it hit about midway, and then it made another sharp right turn and started heading north-northwest up towards Texas border, actually, is where it first started to move to. If you drew a line from its path, it would have hit somewhere in East Texas. So it's moving northwards, and then it's kind of bending towards New Orleans. But even 100 miles offshore, Katrina was headed west, mind you, west of New Orleans. As it moved closer, it made a perfect curve, like a perfect strike pitcher's curveball directly north towards New Orleans. And of course, at that point, we all thought New Orleans was toast. At that point, when Katrina made landfall, it made a very sharp right-hand turn, almost 90 degrees, and headed east towards Biloxi, Mississippi. And the reason for that turn was because it went over two of the prime oil refineries that had been missed by Ivan and the other four storms that had been guided into that area over the past year. Five major tropical storms, including hurricanes, moving into that Mobile, Alabama area. But the people guiding the storm knew that the big refineries, the two big ones that needed to be hit, lay just east and south of New Orleans. This storm, Katrina, went dead center over that location. But now understand that as Katrina was a Category 4 pushing Category 5 hurricane 100 miles offshore over New Orleans, even the manipulation of the storm couldn't keep it driving at that rate. It lost power. It was only a Category 2 storm as it actually hit those refineries. And as it hit the left part of the eye, just grazed Lake Pontchartrain, which lies north of New Orleans. Now understand that the rain in New Orleans, I'm going to describe the conditions of New Orleans. There were 7 inches of rain total, which is not a lot for New Orleans. New Orleans has had those kind of rainstorms out of just a thunderstorm in the past. the Katrina, the winds in New Orleans were less than 100 miles an hour. So the city fared quite well. The pumps were working, the levees were holding, there was no surge to speak of coming in Lake Pontchartrain. The waves in that kind of activity, of course, there was some, but the levees were holding quite nicely until there was a series of explosions a whole day later. I'll get into that in a minute. But as for the Hurricane Katrina, at that point, it had done its damage on the two major oil refineries and then made a sharp left turn to allow it to go north again. Now, if you look at the standard path that is printed on any of the meteorological pages or the newspaper, whatever, it shows a broad swinging path from Florida down into the Gulf and then north going straight through New Orleans. Well, we all know it did not hit New Orleans. The eye was far east of New Orleans. And then they made that jog left after going over those oil refineries to go north. And of course, the oil prices the prior night had already begun to climb. Oil went over $70 a barrel overnight. And now we're being told that the fuel and natural gas heating for the United States will be up 70% this winter. And of course, money being poured into the gas pumps, by people already had hit as much as $6 a gallon in Atlanta. Of course, the price gouging, I've talked about that. I'm not going to go into that detail. We all know that happened. We all know it's illegal. We all know that the president overlooked and very much even in his own statement said he would not allow gouging at the pump when, in fact, we are all being gouged even to this day. So clearly the oil buddies making a big profit. And now the other thing about those two refineries in southeast of New Orleans is that they not only refined oil, they did a partial refinement and pumped a lot of that oil all the way to Atlanta and then to New York City, where it was further refined. And a lot of that oil also went over to the Texas coast, where there's dozens of small refineries that processed that oil. So it was a major target, and it even said in the oil futures report that's still posted on my webpage on the greed and the oil futures subpage that they missed those refineries with the past storm. So you darn better be sure they were going to hit those with this storm, Katrina. Okay, now Katrina diminished down to basically a tropical storm relatively rapidly and moved north. This is all on Monday, a week ago Monday. The next day, it was clear that New Orleans had survived quite well. A couple hundred thousand people remained in New Orleans and were starting to get back to normal. The pumps were working and the levees were holding. At about 4 a.m., the levees started to blow. And we have reports unconfirmed that people heard the explosions. If you look at the pattern of levees and the later explanation saying that it was the storm surge had already left Lake Pontchartrain when the levees started to blow. The wave and the wind action had already stopped and the rain had stopped. So New Orleans was recovering quite well. I saw actual live photos of downtown New Orleans. It was a little bit rainy on Tuesday morning, but no water standing in the streets. The levees were blown in a very symmetrical pattern around New Orleans, and there's a lot of information on the internet about this. There's a lot of people claiming that that's conspiracy theory. No, I'm sorry, it's very true. If it was due to the surge, then how come the levees blew on the riverside and on the canal side? There was no surge in those. So now, in a minute, I'll be talking about weather manipulation and how they manipulate storms to tell you exactly how this is done, who is doing it, and why they're doing it. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. Quickly back to the sun. As I said, we're receiving some mega flares, a tremendous blast of X-rays coming in last night, September 7th, and into September 8th. Very immense solar storm, and the solar system is very active. These storms are not coming out of the the middle of nowhere, we are responding to solar system conditions that have been built up over many years. We live in an electrical solar system, and the excess current of protons that exists in the solar wind, in these solar flares, is driving up the energy of the overall solar capacitor, which drives the weather of our solar system. And so you'll find a lot of flakes running around the internet saying, oh, it's due to sunspots or this or that. No, we live in a very dynamic, electrically active region of the solar system, especially in August. We are still in the August return current sheet, and we can expect a lot of storm activity over the next few days and weeks. Quickly, and I'm not going to dwell on this, the misinformation and the people with absolutely no background who are getting on radio shows and spouting off as if they know something. This is, it's up to you people to know what's going on, who the clowns are, and know who to avoid. And with what they're trying to do is use weather as a way to drum up attention, but then filtering in the government misinformation along with, you know, any good piece of disinformation has a lot of good information, and they have to do that to draw the crowds. Oh, and by the way, there's just ridiculous people out there. You know, the attacks on me, personal attacks are going on. We all knew this was going to happen. People who've never met me, you know, have really never talked to me, making claims, you know, just ridiculous, a bunch of misinformation. You know, I am who I am. My history is very clear. My paper trail is very clear. And my working against the forces of the standard science, that type of thing, it's all very clear. So you people out there can, you have to make your own decisions on this. And you have to look at the lot of these people, these Johnny-come-latelys, that haven't even been around a year or two, all these people coming out of the woodwork, that are claiming all of a sudden to be experts or know people. Look at who they are. They're a bunch of nobody wannabes. And so anyway, just that's all I'm going to say about that, because there's so much more important material to cover tonight. I'm going to start right now into the technique of weather manipulation, because I know that's a topic that's on everybody's mind. It's very important. And first of all, I want to reiterate that there's no such thing as scalar technology. Scalar is a term in physics which means a number. It just means a number. There's no direction. There's nothing associated with it. And so if energy, for example, is a scalar, there's a certain amount of energy, and it's a scalar, it's just a number. So scalar technology is a complete misnomer, and it's a name, unfortunately, that's been bantered around, and people pick it up like many things and use it. So believe me, there's no such thing as scalar technology. Let me quickly talk about HARP. HARP was a technology developed decades ago, and the purpose was to beam high-energy radio beams around the Earth, and they are reflected off the ionosphere just the same way as radio waves, shortwave, etc., that bounce around the Earth, between the Earth and the ionosphere. And so you can actually beam and target energies to certain parts of the Earth. And so this was one of the early attempts at weather manipulation and weather control. And that's why back in the 70s, these attempts at sending radiation, specifically radio frequency radiation, around the atmosphere had been developed a long time ago. And of course, people that developed these really didn't understand what caused weather and why the weather works the way it does. And if you look at my weather book, this has a lot more detail, that the severe storms are driven from the ionosphere, something that just about every NASA conference now is coming to the same conclusion. Gee, isn't that interesting? So if you understand what causes the weather, then weather manipulation is the secondary effect, or the understanding of that. So first of all, HARP was a technique to send radiation, radio wave radiation, in large volumes into certain areas and concentrated on a certain area. But it really was not that effective. They could do a little bit of weather manipulation. They could somewhat move cloud systems around, but it was not very effective. Back in the mid-90s, I came up with a technique that I took to the Air Force. And now I regret that terribly. It's the same reason why I will not take any technology to these people that would be used to get through the Van Allen belts, because these people use it for devious mechanisms to harm the public. What I did in the mid-90s, I took this to the Air Force and NOAA, and I said, I will give you this for free. It's a technology which will allow us to manipulate storms and drag them away from shorelines that would affect people, and we can diminish the energy in storms using these techniques. Well, what they've done is taken those same techniques, built large laser satellites that are in orbit around the Earth, and these are what are dragging the storms around and pumping up the energy in these storms. What they basically do is they shine a laser, and these can be in many different frequencies, and this is what I measured directly last January when I went out into the Pacific, because I knew they were doing this. I knew they were playing with these storms out in the Pacific off the west coast of the United States. And I got up to an altitude of about 40-some thousand feet, about 45,000 feet, and was able to view and capture the satellite manipulation of a storm system as they took it from Oregon and dragged it down towards California. So this was the first direct measurement confirmation that they were manipulating these storms with satellites and the laser beams coming down from satellites. And I'm not going to talk specifically about the details of that on the air for a very good reason. So this is, now they've got probably at least three satellites that I've identified the orbits of these satellites can be changed using electromagnetic propulsion systems that are on the satellites. And that's another technology that I was familiar with back in the very early 80s, as far as maneuvering satellites into positions around the Earth. So the storm that went into Brazil, for example, a year and a half ago, the hurricane that Brazil had never seen hurricanes before, that storm was manipulated, and dragged into Brazil. Now, the picture of that hurricane with its lip being dragged around is in my weather book. The root source of energy, and that's the root source of energy for a hurricane, is not warm water. And I dispel that myth conclusively in my weather book, showing hurricanes on Mars where there is no water at all. We have hurricanes that have gone all the way up to Alaska. We've had hurricanes that have developed off the west coast of Washington State. We've had hurricanes in the North Atlantic. The perfect storm, October 31st and November 1st. What year was that? 1991, that perfect storm system. Three storms, two of them came across the landmass of the United States and never developed over water. The one storm came across the Canadian border of Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, and developed into basically a hurricane status overland, and meeting the other two storms out in the North Atlantic, you basically had a massive hurricane in the North Atlantic. No warm water there, folks. So this idea that keeps being repeated by meteorologists and scientists from NOAA, etc., is totally, absolutely, and conclusively false. The energy for storms comes from the ionosphere, and what happens is there, as the cloud systems develop, there's a breakdown of the electrical situation above the clouds. The current begins to flow to the cloud tops, and as this happens, it develops the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm is actually an electrical current sheet that's moving upwards, and it spirals upwards because of the Coriolis force that causes, for example, the water in your bathtub drain to spin as it goes down. In fact, the spinning sensation in your bathtub drain is just the opposite effect of a hurricane. So at any rate, or a typhoon, warm water, what happens as the wind rushes in from around the base of the hurricane and is drawn up the central column by the electric field all the way up to the ionosphere, as that air mass moves over the water, it evaporates water and drives it up into the cloud tops as this spills out the top of the eye. And that's why there's a slight cooling of the water as a hurricane passes, but it is the cooling of the water is not the source of energy for the hurricane. Any moron, any third grader, I'm not saying third graders are morons, I'm saying any third grader could calculate that the amount of energy in a hurricane far exceeds the heat loss from the water under the hurricane. So by simple conservation of energy, this warm water theory of hurricane development is absolutely patently false. So at any rate, now that you understand what causes a hurricane and that as that eye develops, there's an electrical current the ionic air current that moves across the ocean, comes up the column, the central eye of the hurricane, and the biggest part of that electrical current is the electron current coming down the eye of the hurricane. Now, if you take a laser and you shine it down and enhance, ionize the path between the ionosphere and that storm, then you start to be able to increase the energy in that storm. If you bring your satellite beam off to one edge of the eye, you can now start to drag that hurricane around like you put a ring in somebody's nose and you can drag it around, just like we saw with Hurricane Jean last year in the fall and the other hurricanes that they could manipulate. Hurricane Katrina, they manipulated to a T. However, the lucky part the fortunate thing with New Orleans has always been that vast swamp and shallow water down at the delta of the river. So that's why the hurricanes would come in and always fizzle as before they got to New Orleans. Now, New Orleans survived this hurricane quite well. It's the levees. So the term being used, that the Katrina disaster in Florida, Katrina did not cause a disaster in New Orleans. Believe me, it was the levees that blew a day later that caused the damage in New Orleans. So let's put the damage right where it belongs, on FEMA and the people who blew the dikes down in New Orleans. That is what caused the disaster in New Orleans. By the way, I will end with a topic tonight showing where much of the relief money is not going to the poor people who were displaced. Most of those people are trying to eke out a living or get money from friends. The money is not going to them at all. In fact, nobody even knows who they are or where they are. The money is going into coffers that are being funneled into rebuilding New Orleans for the rich. That's right, folks. That's what's going on here. So, on to who is doing the weather manipulation, who is controlling these satellites. Now, it has been suggested by some people who don't know what they're talking about that Russia is causing this. Patently false. Russia, back in the 90s, offered to give, just like I did, the weather manipulation technology to the United States. How do I know about that? Because I worked with the Russian scientists. How did the Russian scientists figure it out? They were translating my science papers into Russian and teaching them in the universities. They were atmospheric scientists. Dr. Dmitriev and his group of atmospheric scientists had already known and translated my papers back in the mid-early 90s. That's how they discovered this, and they developed the technology for weather manipulation, and they were giving it to the United States for free, so that they could prevent the damaging storms. Because understand, Russia doesn't have hurricanes. The United States is one of the most hurricane and tornado prone areas on the planet. That's because we're west of the Atlantic Ocean. And the other place that is prone to these type of devastating storms is the South Pacific, the Southwest Pacific, specifically for all the way from Japan down in through Micronesia to Australia, and sometimes New Zealand, although that's pretty far south. But these are the major storm recipients on the planet. Now, okay, I just want to read briefly and show you a little loophole that occurred in the United Nations resolution of 1977 prohibiting any use of weather manipulation. And now listen to the verbiage in here, and this was adapted. Actually, the original document was in Stockholm, Sweden, June 16, 1972. Okay, and realizing that this could be used, weather modification could be used for peaceful means, they said that space, outer space, and weather manipulation could not be used to harm the public. But listen to the verbiage. Article 1. This is Resolution 31/72. Official records of the General Assembly, 31st session, and adopted in 1977, page 88 to 94, and regarding world armament and disarmament. Now, listen to Article Number 1. Each state party to this convention undertakes not to engage in military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques having widespread, long-lasting or severe effects as the means of destruction, damage, or any injury to any other state party. It doesn't prevent a country from doing it to its own citizens. Isn't that cute? And who would ever imagine that a country would use this against their own citizens? Now, the question is, would Russia be doing this to the United States? Believe me, Russia's got a lot better things to do with their time. Russia has already built capacity in secure underground regions for 80% of its population. Russia has not had any severe weather. If Russia were doing this to us, don't you think we might be doing it back to them? Gee, now look at other countries that have had severe weather manipulation, for example, France, when they did not want to go along with the Iraq War. Gee, who was doing that? Russia? I don't think they had an axe to grind as far as Iraq is concerned. In fact, regarding Iraq, France and Russia stood on the same side. They were against it. So the question is, how could Russia be manipulating our weather using satellites going overhead, the technique that Russia gave freely to the United States back in the 90s, because I saw everything that was going on there. How could Russia have satellites orbiting over our country, the United States, beaming energy down, moving tornadoes and hurricanes around to these areas, and our space command not know about it? Let me tell you, folks, it couldn't happen. So it is not the Russians, for anybody to suggest it, they simply don't know what they're talking about. These people, they're Johnny-come-latelys, some nice, well-intentioned people trying to get some information out, but not understanding what they're talking about, unfortunately. So at any rate, the Russians are not doing it. I've heard it stated that the Iranians are doing it. I'm not aware of the Iranians having any type of radio transmission capability, satellite capability, anything that could manipulate storms. So how could anybody possibly state that the Iranians were doing it unless they were simply trying to drum up hatred for the Iranians, which is, of course, going on now because of the next agenda for the New World Order people that want the United States to attack Iran. Okay, so who could possibly be doing this? Gee, who could be flying satellites over the United States and beaming energy down that I personally measured and detected last January over the Pacific? Who could be doing that? Well, none other than our very own Space Command. Now, I talked a bit about this last week, so I'm not going to reiterate what I talked about last week. clearly it is being done by the scientific payloads, the satellites that were launched by the United States. Who is doing this? Well, understand that you don't own the federal government, that the people who are running the federal government, the Bushes, the Clintons, those folks, are just the representatives of the World Bank, which is a front organization for the large groups of people that manipulate and manage the world politics, economics, etc. And it is well known in the CIA circles, etc., that they cannot bring down the United States until, or they cannot get the New World Order in place until they bring down the United States. It's well on its way, folks, and there are a lot of people expecting the second wave, some kind of terrorist biochem or possibly nuclear attack on another major American city. And they've already, now I heard, this is unconfirmed, I heard just before the show that it has now been released that our good President George W. Bush signed an executive order Saturday night before Katrina hit, made landfall, giving total authority to FEMA. Now, if this were the case and FEMA were in control, why would they not be there with supplies, etc.? Well, you have to understand that FEMA was not set up. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is a misnomer. They're not, well, it's in a sense, they were not designed to go in and help people. They were designed to go in and contain people, to install martial law, to prevent people from leaving areas, and that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And any of the guard that was down there were under the direction of FEMA. So when people are saying, why didn't you bring water and supplies? Well, what FEMA was never designed to bring in water and supplies and food and tents, etc. Their job is to displace the public. And very clearly, the job of FEMA in this situation was to clear out the city of New Orleans. When the hurricane didn't do it, they blew the levees. And now imagine the amount of coordination that it would take to do this. Anybody who doubts that the levees were not blown, look at the pattern, how they were evenly placed around the entire city to blow the water, to allow the water to flow in to that city so it could not possibly be pumped out. One breach, the city could have handled it, the pumps could have handled it, they could have dealt with it. But when you look at the breaches, they didn't just, a 300-yard long breach didn't just happen a little bit and then a little bit later. It blew all at one time. And there's a lot of corroborating research going on in this area right now, and I've seen it. There's no question the levees were blown. Who did it? FEMA. No question about it. And their demolition experts. Remember that on my homepage, I still have it listed that a guy named Tom Kennedy, being interviewed by Dan Rather after 9/11, Tom Kennedy states, for the record, that FEMA arrived in New York on Monday night, September 10th, to get ready to go into action on September 11th. The words of Tom Kennedy, agent of FEMA. So at any rate, this is another case where FEMA was given a directive prior to the disaster to go in and take care of business. So at any rate, isn't it interesting that the United Nations article preventing the use of weather manipulation, which was signed, was originated in 1972, signed in 1977, passed in 1976. And isn't it amazing there's people out there saying that there is no such thing as weather modification? What a bunch of retards. Excuse my French, but that's all you can say. The end result is that FEMA was given jurisdiction before it was even known that there would be a disaster there. Now, the why for this? New Orleans is the largest port in this country. It handles 25% of the shipping of the United States. And it is essential to all of the, nobody's talking about everything that's not going to happen, including the grain being shipped this year Believe me, you cannot take the grain shipment of the United States and somehow quickly and easily move it somewhere else. It's going to drive up the world food prices. It's going to, of course, it's already driving up oil prices here. It is literally devastating the United States. I understand today, I learned that Halliburton has already received the contract to rebuild the naval facilities down there and apparently is receiving contracts, unbid contracts, to start to rebuild the infrastructure of New Orleans. Now, isn't that interesting? Because under the new eminent domain law that the Supreme Court has upheld, all of the poor people who've been pushed out of New Orleans have no right to their property because a higher buck entity, someone with more dollars, can come in and basically confiscate that. And for the most part, there were probably, I'd say, let's get to the death toll in New Orleans. My personal estimate is around 150,000 dead. There's no way that the number would be much smaller. This is astronomical. The official government death toll is stated at 59. 59 is the official death toll of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And remember, it was not Hurricane Katrina that did any severe damage. That the death toll due to Katrina, probably less than 100. The death toll due to FEMA blowing the dikes, 150,000. At least. And as I understand, I don't know the final report. There were conflicting reports of whether New Orleans has actually been cleared of all people. Wasn't it interesting that Mayor Ray Najin, Roy Najin of New Orleans had been explicitly telling his people to come back in on Monday, and then overnight he was taken out to the ship of Colonel Honore. Was given some food and apparently a little talking to. So when Najin came back into New Orleans, he stated everybody has to evacuate. Clearly, a lot of politics going on here. There's a lot of politics behind the scene dealing with the representatives and congresspeople from Louisiana caving in to this pressure to evacuate and clear out the entire, not just New Orleans, but all of the other parishes and the outlying areas all the way into Mississippi. Okay, I'm going to change gears a little bit and talk about the reconstruction efforts that have already begun. And apparently these were already in place early in the devastation of this region. $50 billion, can you imagine? The United States, apparently through the Bush administration, is requesting $50 billion in foreign aid. We are requesting $50 billion in foreign aid for reconstruction of the area hit by the storm, and they're saying this is due to the damage due to Katrina. Now understand that this money will be going to rebuild the infrastructure for the rich, for the people who are going to go back in there, and I suspect what will happen is the reconstruction for workers will come out of the payments that they'll receive. There'll be some kind of a loan structure set up, special loans given to people, and they will be put off in certain areas. My suspicion that for New Orleans, this is going to become the new Shanghai, so to speak, an international cordoned off area under probably IMF control. And we will have the equivalent of Singapore in the United States. Because if they're asking for foreign money, don't you think the foreigners will want some money back out of this operation once it gets going? The fifth largest port in the world, New Orleans. So you can already see the wheels turning, and who's going to build that port? I wonder if it would be Halliburton. You have to understand the overall background of who's running this. Clearly, the IMF is involved. The United States is being treated like a third world country and being driven down to status of a third world country. We are already there. The United States is third world country status as we speak. There was some mutiny in Iraq with soldiers from Louisiana who wanted to return home. And they brought a few hundred token guardsmen back, but the bulk of them remain in Iraq. So it's very clear that the guardsmen of the United States, and part of the purpose of the Iraq War was to get the defense of the United States to a minimum. I've been told that there are Mexican troops in New Orleans. There are Mexican troops in New Orleans. So the international troop situation has already begun. The downfall from within of the United States has already begun. The devastation that occurred due to this vast storm and the aftermath, plus the blowing of the levees in New Orleans, clearly is the beginning of the downfall of the United States. A Trojan horse has been planted in the United States. What we're expecting is another major event within the next weeks, possibly in September, which would completely and utterly demolish the infrastructure of the United States and cause complete chaos, and with the beginning of the infusion of foreign armies into this country and complete martial law and ordering people to, for example, in concentration camps. This is another issue that's not being talked about, that the people being drawn out of New Orleans by military and paramilitary forces are being maneuvered into the equivalent of concentration camps. We have one in Minnesota. I checked on it personally, and there's no way to contact any of the people who are being held captive, and that's the only word I can use. The approximately 5,000 people are being brought here. Families are being disbanded. This is ethnic cleansing. This is ethnic cleansing, and this should not be happening in the United States. There was plenty of homes and facilities set up to greet these people when they came to the metropolitan area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but instead they are being moved in bulk up to Camp Ripley, which has obviously been set up, and we don't know how many foreign troops are being stored at these facilities. Another issue with New Orleans is that is a, could be and probably very likely will be a staging area for the central United States for foreign armies, and it's already occurring. So we have no army of our own in this country. The Department of Defense, as I've said in the past, is a misnomer. We don't have a Department of Defense. There is no defense in this country at all. All of our cities, all of our towns, all of our states, all of our provinces are completely defenseless. We have no, for all the money we have put into the Department of Defense, we have absolutely no defense in this country. The only defense are what the people can muster up themselves, and which will be very much inadequate against a highly trained, well-armed foreign army. I understand from reports that our President Bush has taken it upon himself to designate himself as the person who will lead the investigation of the downfall of FEMA, or the inability of FEMA to respond to the hundreds of thousands starving and drowning people in New Orleans as they stood by, as tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people died after the storm. Remember that the storm death toll up until Tuesday before the dikes broke was probably less than 100. The damage to New Orleans was minimal. The death toll of 150,000 people occurred after the levees blew. I've heard people on the radio saying, well, everybody was told to get out. You don't understand the situation in New Orleans. It was a very poor region. Most people did not have cars to get all the people in and get out of there. Nothing was provided. And you have to understand that something of this magnitude has to be done from a federal level. It can't be done from the local level. At least it has to be done with support from the federal level. So if finger pointing occurs, it's clear that all of our cities, and now I've been on many radio shows talking about this, and I've been told by numerous talk show hosts that I'm all full of water, or all wet, whatever you call it, that every city in this country needs an evacuation plan. The people need a place to go to. There has to be facilities and supplies in place for medium, short-term, medium, and long-term disasters. Effect of disasters in this country. And I've talked about having this for Los Angeles in case of a tsunami in the whole West Coast. I've talked about it on the East Coast. We've talked about it in terms of terrorist activities. And we certainly know who the terrorists are. The Arabs did not do New Orleans in. It was done by our very own people from this country. Understand the tens of thousands of people it took to coordinate jamming radio signals in New Orleans, cutting phone lines, blowing up levees, keeping people out, keeping people in. The amount of effort that FEMA went through was extensive. Believe me, they were there in full force, but they weren't there to feed the public or give them water. They were there to kill as many people as possible. This was meant to be a vast disaster. Now, remember the headlines. The mayor of New Orleans was saying that what they really needed was food and supplies and water for the people and to go get the people out of their houses who were drowning. The result was that nothing happened. The purpose of the headlines that I saw were to emphasize looting. It said city in chaos. So all of the headlines were meant to give the impression that this was just a war zone in there. And that's why they kept the supplies out. They said, you can't go in there, it's too dangerous. There was nothing farther from the truth, and there were a lot of people. In fact, the situation would have never deteriorated to that if people had food and water, because New Orleans is a very nice place to be and live. But if you take food and water away from people and they're drowning in their houses, all of a sudden, yes, you're going to have a war zone. And this, even at that, people were helping each other trying to do, to deal with the situation. There was some looting, but mainly what I saw was people going into stores, getting supplies that they needed, and that wouldn't have happened. Okay, onwards. The thing you have to understand about New Orleans, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the personality of New Orleans itself, is that it was a city with a tremendous amount of history. The black population, of course, was a result of the southern slave trade and the slave situation in the South prior to the Civil War. And the population, the Cajun population, for example, goes way, way back. As one person told me when I was there, they have been there forever. And literally, New Orleans is one of the oldest populated areas in the Western Hemisphere. The port capability of New Orleans was recognized early on, and the ability, of course, to access the central United States from there was also made it incredibly important because river travel was very important early on. You'll see the New Orleans architecture style of housing that passes all the way up the Mississippi River along the river towns all the way up to Minnesota, where the Mississippi River begins. So New Orleans historically has been a very important location in the United States. The people that live in New Orleans, many of them lived there their entire lives. Their parents lived their entire lives. Many, many, many of them never left New Orleans. You have to understand, I heard the most ridiculous comment on the radio. Somebody called in and said, why didn't they just get up and start walking out? Well, you have 26-mile bridge Lake Pontchartrain to the north. You have about an equal distance on Highway 10 going out to the west. And absolutely, your ability to walk out of New Orleans during storm conditions was impossible with women and kids and cripples and people who are with bad health. You know, for somebody to say that, it just boggles my mind how stupid some Americans are. Excuse the expression, but it just drives me crazy. It's not a place you can walk out of. Of course, you have the swamps to the south. You have a tremendous outlying population in the southern parishes all the way down into the delta, where the people really, they have one road in and one road out. So it's not a situation where you can take, you know, 3.5 million people and just port them out quickly. If there was an evacuation plan in place, which there should be, and if the United States didn't have this thing where, gee, we just can't shut down for a day in case a storm is coming because of tourism and lost business, and somehow come back in and just pick up business as usual without a tremendous amount of looting or disaster. Well, you know, the United States has been primed for this for a long time. New Orleans is very, very different than the Florida areas that got hit by the hurricanes last year. The people in New Orleans live there. They love the city. It's a culture. It's a society. New Orleans is a unique place in the world. It's a very happy place. There's a lot of tension, et cetera, but the people lived there and they had a lot of history there. They just don't pick up and leave. And they're not going to take it very kindly that somebody else is going to take all of that relief money and go in and build a nice places for certain rich people. And of course, I understand that George Bush Sr.'s wife, Barbara, made some pretty raw comments regarding the poor people, how that they should are best off just left in the Astrodome. Well, that's the way those people think. What you have to understand here is how the mentality of people like the Bushes or the Clintons, and that includes the Mr. and Mrs. Clinton included. Yeah, the problem here is that those people think that way. They think they deserve this. They think that this moving, you know, a million people out so they can move in and have a nice place and put their industries there and get things the way they want them is just okay. You know, that's the mentality. So, in other words, the people of New Orleans are very... They belong to that city, and the city belongs to them. You know, it's unlike any other city in the United States. There is no other city like that. San Francisco might come close, but you know, you have to understand the deep, long-term history of New Orleans and the people to understand that they're not going to take it lightly that their population was disseminated, and when they find out that the levees were blown by FEMA, and they're going to find out, there's going to be some repercussions. It's not like Florida, where storms were manipulated to devastate those areas. It's not like other parts of the country where things happen. It's not like New York City, where 911 happened. New Orleans is a very different place. So at any rate, the future is going to be very... let's say up for grabs, and my one piece of advice for you out there is to take care of yourself. You're going to have to take care of yourself and your own people, and just God be with all of you. That's all I can say, because the devil's hand is being worked through a lot of these people, and that's all I can say. I'm out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And believe me, we're at the crossroads for sure. Good night.